Let's go. It's Friday morning. Tomorrow is the 15th of March. Yay. The Ides of March.
Exactly. Like you were saying, it's the Ides of March.
Which is, I mean, it actually wasn't made famous because of Caesar's assassination, though it happened on that day. It's made famous by William Shakespeare, who inserted the line, "Beware the Ides of March," by a soothsayer to Julius Caesar as he was heading to the Senate.
I saw a really great cartoon the other day, and Julius is getting stabbed by everybody. And he's like, "Oh, so now we're stabbing." Like, well, he was so surprised. He's like, "Oh, we're stabbing."
Bought
now.
A friend of mine a pencil holder that is like Julius Caesar, the bust of Julius Caesar, but it's got all the spaces for the pencils in the brilliant. Back. So you can put them all in the back.
That must have been a shock for him. Hey, you get to work one day, suddenly everyone's just stabbing
traumatic.
You.
Yeah. Kind of, and sic semper tyrannis, thus always with tyrants. Every time you think of a politician, just imagine them getting stabbed. I'm not going to advocate violence on this show. Every time you think of a horrible politician, which is too often in this country, then just imagine that situation and think in your head, sic semper tyrannis.
Is that also where the saying comes, the knives are out for him?
Yeah, pretty much. There were 60 people who stabbed him.
Sure.
That's a big conspiracy.
It's almost a team builder at this stage.
It's a team builder, yeah.
It's like, that's guys, right. You know, we haven't gone down the Nile for a while.
Exactly.
Budget's tight. We're all going to stab the soak today. We've all got our names on our little things here.
Right.
Get your knife from Agnes.
There we are. Agnes. There's a woman handing out knives.
Just handing out knives.
Knives! Anybody put a knife?
It's got like the company logo on it. The Senate.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's get to meet our guest for this morning. And Simpiwe has stepped out, if you're wondering. She didn't go poof and disappear into
she did.
She kind of did disappear in a bit of a hurry. But this morning we are joined by John Omanchis, who is a sports conditioning specialist, an experienced fitness leader and qualified sports conditioning. Specialist with an impressive, I'm just checking this out, track record of working with elite sports teams and athletes. All right, so Ben told me about you, and we've met before at a wedding of a mutual friend. But, I mean, this is really cool. You are now at the center of an entire fitness ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You had, like, huge groups of people who you have helped all across the world.
Yep.
Because you've become this huge brand yourself, and you've created this brand from what you guys were doing. I said to Ben, did it start in COVID? And he said, no, it was long before that.
Yeah, it actually, funny enough, I came up with the concept when I was still with SA Rugby. And my wife had just had her second baby. Our second baby, I should say. And she was putting...
Well, I hope it was yours.
Yeah, me too.
Otherwise, you got the same problem as that little Formula One driver. Are you my daddy?
And I was traveling a lot, man. I was away for 8 months of the year, and it was just getting a bit much. And I came up with a remote program, and it just sort of caught wind. And I was looking after certain, like the whole of Cape Town, and then I came up to Joburg, and I had certain well-known people like Maps Maponyani, Pitsa Masamani, and, you know, and it just sort of, it went viral.
Yeah.
And then left SA Rugby when we grew it to a certain stage and thought, okay, listen, this is, we've got something
here. How long were you with them?
I was with SA Rugby for about 8 years prior to that.
That's a significant tenure.
Yeah, it was a long time. So like a lot of travel, but like a lot of thinking. You know, and
what were you doing at SA Rugby?
I was doing sports conditioning, mainly focused on the sevens program, and then moved to the under 20s, and was doing a lot of work with the Springboks, then world with the referees, etc. And
so before we get into where you are now, let's just talk about that for a second, because I think most people are interested in what it's like to be an elite athlete, to be an elite rugby player.
Yeah.
The pressure's on. We always hear about how injured these guys are afterwards, how they struggle with their knees and their ankles and their elbows and God knows what else. And I've met old rugby players and it's usually a very sad situation because they put their bodies through all kinds of hell. So how do you help them when that is almost an inevitability?
Well, you know, I think I like to treat athletes like everyday people. I mean, like everyone has got a different like requirement, especially if you take a rugby team. I mean, you look at all the different positions, you look at the different physical aspects of what they have to do. Then you have to look at like the big part is the mental aspect of how do you bring like the best out of someone.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the most important thing. And you know, you never think, and like Ben will resonate with this a lot with, you know, with his experience in sport. These guys are, they're not robots, you know. A lot of what they do comes from an emotional pull and the trust that they get. A lot to do with like what we're doing now is like building trust within and just making sure they're on the right periodized plan that they can go out and be incredibly successful and execute on the highest level, you know?
Sure.
So it's all about having the correct plan. It's about doing the right things at the right time, doing the boring things that you don't want to do. All the hidden things about, I mean, like if I have to think about my tenure at Springbok Sevens, I mean, those days started at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, sure, where you would be doing prehab and preventative work leading into a 6-hour training day and then closing off with massages and getting home at like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, along with the nutrition. And then the understandings of this player had a fight with their wife or their girlfriend or their mom died or
you
dad.
You really have to think of everything.
Oh, my word. You have no idea.
Wow.
But at the end of the day, you've got to do what it takes to bring the performance out of that person, you know, and understanding them. So it's a hell of a taxing job.
Mm.
And I think your personality has to come out and you have to have a strong personality. You have to have massive balls to challenge coaching staffs and coaches and pull ranks. So yeah, it's hugely important.
Yeah, it's something that we never get the chance to understand this, but the people who support and condition and put the players on the field, taking nothing away from the players, because it is hard. Course. They've got to make the decisions, they've got to put the work in. But as you say, like the people who put this all together and the sacrifices they make, and they don't get the trophies and they don't get like the big money endorsements and those kind of things, but the sacrifice is exactly the same.
Yeah, 100%.
I see lots of people here saying how much they love you. Leah says, Jono is the best captain. Narashri, the best and most. So obviously lots of people who really love what you do. How did you build up this level of kind of loyalty and family feel? Because that's what it seems to me it is.
Well,
and I'm speaking as someone who doesn't know anything about the detail of this.
Well, prior to lockdown, we went through like a bit of an investment thing of Jono's fitness faculty and changed into Jono's e-fitness faculty and started building a team. And we built about a team of about 20 people. Lockdown hits. Remember that February? Yeah. Like it's happening and everything was going around. And we had to get our team down to probably about 5 or 6 people. 2 days before lockdown hits, we've just closed our office and we just don't know what we're going to do. We had 3 months of funding through our investor. And I'll never forget the day. I walked into my driveway in Constantia. And I fell to my knees and I felt hopeless. I had these 2 small kids and I didn't know what was going to happen, you know, like everyone.
Yeah.
My wife pulled out a bottle of red wine and she goes, hey, sort your crap out. You're in the best position possible. We're going to go live on Facebook and we're going to do a workout and we're going to invite our friends. And I'll never forget, we like just messaged everyone on lockdown, went live on Facebook. Our kids were running around in nappies and they came through. We bought 2 lights, like a little green screen, and the kids came and knocked it down. I was fighting with my wife.
Sounds like chaos.
It was chaos. One was had a shit in its nappy. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. But what happened was people resonated with that.
Oh.
And then 2 days later, doubled the numbers. 3 days later, it was nuts. And then a week later, we had 2,000 people live.
Wow.
And it was.
And
just,
what do you do with these people?
That's really.
Are they all sitting in their homes doing like little stretches and little, I don't know, sky punches or whatever the hell they're doing?
Yeah,
it wasn't like the gym clip you played earlier.
No.
It didn't. Let's just show Jono quickly. It didn't look like this, did it? Have you got that clip, guys? I hope it didn't look
this
like
this. This was Jono's main competitor during lockdown.
Yeah, that was my competitor. You know,
moving in pink.
Come on, ladies!
Yeah. But I think it just made things real and everyone was going through that at that time. But, you know, that grew and we grew a massive team and we grew a massive following of people around the world. in that business.
That's amazing. I love hearing about things like this because people, when there's some difficulty, there's some arduous journey that we all have to undertake. Yeah. There's some people who just find an entirely new niche and they are able to turn nothing into something.
Yeah.
And all you need is a little bit of critical mass and some good timing. And clearly those things were both present when this happened.
Yeah, I remember, sorry to cut you off there. I remember my Cape Town friends at the time in particular during lockdown. It's like they would talk about those workouts every day. Mm. And they'll be like, yeah, it was hard, or I'm getting better now, or I can't believe you missed that. Now you got to do something else. And that's how I guess you get community, because you get people away from you going, like, this is so great. And they create their own little sort of interaction.
That's exactly it. It's like it's building a sense of community, but people had never done that before. If you think about prior to that,
yeah,
where would you go? You'd go to your gym, your CrossFit, or whatever it may be. And
I mean,
you
know, it does sound a bit culty here. I mean, I'm looking at Maya. He's always there for us no matter what. Michelle, yes, Jono's hardcore. It's a little bit fucking culty. But explain how you create that, just enough of that without it becoming.
Yeah, that's actually a good question because
I don't want. You're letting people into your house and into your life, and they are expecting. There are a lot of really fucked up people in the world who aren't just interested in getting fit and feeling better, but they're also looking for companionship and friendship and leadership and all these other things.
Yeah.
And I don't know sometimes if it's easy to walk that path.
Well, look, we've got so much learnings over the last 5 to 6 years, especially what we're doing now in the last 2 years with the Daily J.
Oh.
And people, you got to give the responsibility to the community. You know what I mean? So it's like a dead flower. You put water on it. You bring it to life. You give people hope. You give them direction, and you give them a plan. And of course, there will be an emotional pull about that. Of course, there will be issues that happen. I mean, like during that lockdown period, I had about 8 or 9 people on suicide watch.
Yeah, but that's not your problem.
Not my problem.
Let me tell you something. Like, I love the people who come and listen to us every day. And someone was saying earlier, you know, we're content creators and all of that stuff is now pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
We're all content creators, which is fine. There's no special cast of people. You're the chosen ones who get to have a show, you know?
Yeah.
And that's great. But I don't know that I ever want to be informed if anybody who listens to the show is on suicide watch. Like, mind your own fucking business. I don't want to know because I don't need that responsibility. And you, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hear about this from my audience. If you're going to think about offing yourself, keep it to yourself. Okay. I got a show to do here. You would do a different thing. You'd actually get involved.
Well, the thing is, you know, like, you have to take it in context. That was a very difficult period. Now it's completely different, you know?
And you can't be everyone's psychologist as well.
No, not at all. You can't. I mean, like, the problems that come up. But what you can do is you can, again, give people a plan, build a community, and make them accountable to each other.
But I do think a lot of this starts with getting yourself into shape and getting yourself feeling better about your body and eating right and not being a slob. Like, if you start there, which is something anyone can do.
Totally.
You could be poor, rich, old, young. You can come from this part of the country or that part of the country. Everyone can take charge of their body.
Yeah, 100%. They can get off their ass and they can move.
So that's a great place to start. But then these people mustn't climb in and start asking you to help them with their marriage and everything. You've got to draw
the line. No. They're proper boundaries. As I say, like,
lunatics.
Now it's completely different. And look, where we make meaningful impact is we create rhythms in people's lives where there is accountability to a community. And it's actually quite amazing. I mean, like, we have scaled this business now in the last 2 years to 48 countries around the world.
That's phenomenal.
And Gareth, super interesting too. It's pockets of South Africans that are all over the world. It starts in New Zealand, goes into Australia,
they need all the help they can get.
Exactly.
New Zealand.
Comes into South Africa, goes across into Europe, hops over into the US, and ends up at Medicine Hat up in Canada, where there's a group of South African doctors. And it's 23 and a half hours of support. It is we broadcast out of Facebook like you do.
Right.
I haven't built any tech, and we operate in WhatsApp. Simple.
It's amazing. So what are the total numbers now?
So we've got now just short of 500 members.
That's enormous.
Members.
These are people who they're involved.
They're involved, and they have a weekly program. We figured out if we can keep them engaged for 21 days out of 30, they stay with us.
Wow.
So this is another interesting thing.
Is that the secret numbers? Because I've heard about and read little bits about this habit forming.
It's 21 days out of 30.
That's it, huh?
21 days out of 30.
So you just have to push through. So for anyone who's really struggling to commit to something or to get out of something, 21 days.
With the system.
Yeah. And support.
And support. Yeah, and you know, if you can drive that routine and rhythm in people, oh man, people fly. The other interesting factors.
By the way, how old is your child that was shitting in the nappies now?
Well, they are now 8 and 6.
Yeah, no more shitty nappies.
No. They're great. Beautiful young girls now. Okay. I can't believe how big they've got. But the interesting thing is, if you know, like I'm in the game of numbers and understanding that and like looking what's happening with the big gym chains and the big insurance chains.
Yeah.
We've got a retention rate of 93.8%.
Wow. That's massive.
Massive.
There's no insurance company that has that.
No.
Well, there's no industry really. You can see that.
Yeah, there's no one.
There's no one.
That's phenomenal.
And it's all been grown organically without.
So what do you attribute that to?
Creating a culture and environment for people to win, making them believe and understanding that we are not in the business of fitness. I'm in the business of behavior change underpinned through the pillars of exercise, nutrition, community, and bloody strong leadership.
I mean, don't you think that's exactly what makes, sorry to bring it back to sport, but that's what makes the current Springbok like so good.
Yeah.
100%. You haven't just got coaches and oaks are holding cones. It's a spirit of winning. And it's people forget about this kind of stuff, but that's what makes people actually care about things in life.
100%.
It takes you somewhere. You get tangibles out of that. You don't get tangibles out of, oh, fuck, I've got to do this again today.
100%. Yeah. And you know, like, for me, it's not about like the physical changes. It's about how people come to life, how they become better moms, better dads. They get, you know, the impact they have on others. I mean, I don't know if you saw that story that we did in October. I got a call that there's a wheelchair rugby team here up in Joburg. There was a kid called Vusi. Mm-hmm. He was from KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. He's 19 years old. He'd never been to school. Mm-hmm. He's a paraplegic. And he found this wheelchair rugby school and was coming all the way down through Alex, 5 kilometers to get to practice. And his wheelchair broke. Somebody within our community who's the coach phoned me and he said, listen here, can you do anything to help? Because we've raised a lot of money in the path through all our shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. In 90 minutes, we raised 36,000 rand through this community for this kid to get it. And again, it happened last week. We raised another 30,000 rand in 2 hours for someone to have an eye operation to get their vision back. It's about a team of people working together, but in the virtual world. And it's actually quite amazing. And you'll probably see in the comments, there's probably a lot of the Daily J community here.
Oh, yeah. No,
and
they're all
they'll comment away and they'll talk about the community. But you'll know you've got your own community here. And like you wake up to it. I wake up to you every single morning. I do my exercise. I put the kettle on. I make my wife a cup of coffee and I see you guys in the morning. And I comment and I go, how's it, guys? Have a lekker day. You know, and they do the same.
So again, I always think, you know, I'd love training and lockdown gave me that chance to really focus on it because we had time.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, it's actually non-negotiable, this whole thing. People go, oh yeah, he likes to work out or he's living healthy. It's like, no, that's actually got to be your basis because no matter what, like, as you just said, there with a positive impact, you can unlock so much as a human being, which then becomes a better dad, a better friend, a better person.
I think there's also more to it, and I want to hear Jono's comments on this now, but you're also giving people a chance to connect in a very disconnected world. You know, we all think that because we have social media and we have phones and we have WhatsApp and everything, that we are actually in contact with people. But mostly we're not. It's very superficial. It doesn't actually create the feeling of what this word that often gets abused, but I know you mean it, community.
Yeah.
Right. When you feel part of something bigger.
Yeah.
Because people are not islands.
Yep.
And you can only be so much happy until eventually, in order for you to reach higher levels of happiness or at least less sadness, you need to have a group of people that you can associate with, laugh with, enjoy winning with, make a difference to the world around you with. If you don't have any of that, you are bound to become a very, very sad, depressed, angry, or dangerous person.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going around. People are unable to find those meaningful connections. And it seems to me like this has been the excuse for you to be able to create that togetherness.
But it also creates a lot more sort of cohesion and glue. And, you know, like there's so many WhatsApp groups that you get put into. I hate WhatsApp groups. I generally exit them and I'm not part of it. Yeah. But everyone that's there is there for a purpose of bettering themselves, right? So there's this almost like a shared kind of adversity or challenge that they're addressing. It's like the Comrades Marathon. Mm. It didn't start because they were just communists and KwaZulu-Natal like to steal. Comrades meant we're going to come together as comrades, because after the Second World War, there was no adversity. So they needed to share something to battle through together. And that's how the Comrades started. And it was a huge
thing. It's a terrible thing. I don't approve of the Comrades.
But,
you know this.
But you talk to anyone who's done the Comrades.
I think the Comrades is a very stupid thing. If I were president, I'd shut it down yesterday.
But if you meet someone who's done the Comrades and find someone else that's done the Comrades.
First of all, it's named after what communists call each other. I have a problem with that, even though you've explained it to me, Ben. Second of all, I don't know why all those other fuckers are still running after the guy who's won it has won. They must all fuck off home.
Everyone's running.
No one cares that you came 438th and got a bronze medal.
They do.
No one, only them. And you know what happens when only you care about something? You keep it to yourself.
It's a shared community, Gareth.
They shouldn't broadcast it. None of that stuff. Cancel. Lucky I'm not president if you run the stupid race. What do you think?
I get anxiety when I watch that last like cut out, and I'm like,
those people who hold themselves across that line at the vomiting and sweating and
they
pooing
are connected
and,
with each other.
No,
it's revolting.
Well, listen, it's a purpose. I mean, like, it's
exactly a
people. I think people are in general always searching for something, you know, and I will never search down that. I can't see myself coming down and doing the Comrades. I've done a marathon before.
Comrades, people, calm down. No one's going to take your comrades away. Okay?
I mean, 5 kilometers
these losers who put like 25 bronze medals on their wall for the 25 years of losing. Where's your gold, huh?
But it's a valid point. Now, look. I think people in life, you know, if we have to associate to what we do, people want to win in their own capacity. You know what I mean?
They do.
People want to win.
Those are the key words there. And your own capacity.
Own
beautiful
capacity
thing.
Okay, and whatever that may be. And if I liken that to people within our community, I mean, it could be Mary who...
Belinda Lister says, Gareth, that is such a sad mentality. You see, some of these people are only here because you're here, and they're about to have a terrible morning because of me. We look forward to the Daily J Fitness month in, month out. These programs are designed to condition your body. The Jono community better not bring any positivity here, says Congo Chris. We've worked hard to develop this deranged and unhinged sarcasm and hostility in this comment section.
Love it.
Okay, but I love what you say about winning, because it is important.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, too many people in this country, too many people in the world at the moment, are just used to losing. And losing's cuck, man.
Yeah, it is crap. And I think especially in our country at the moment, like people need to feel like they need to win. And it's that feeling post exercise of like, how do you bottle that up and give it to corporate South Africa, give it to everyday life. You know, like you're uptight, you go for a run and you're a better mom, you're a better dad straight away to your kids and better husband and stuff like that. Now, like I believe so deeply in it. I mean, especially in corporate South Africa, I had a meeting here about a month ago with one of these top investment firms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me to put together a corporate wellness package of what we're doing for her. Came with the cost and she goes,
it's too expensive.
And I said, well, I've waited for 2 weeks for you to come back from London. I said, how did you fly to London?
Business class.
Yeah. Turned left, stayed here at this hotel, which I knew exactly. So I said, okay, so you're willing to go spend that on yourself, but you're not willing to give 100 people an opportunity to grow. She signed the contract the next day.
And she hates you. For the reality check.
She hates you, but she paid attention. But
totally. And you know what I mean? Like, I want, like, on our thing, like, I refuse to discount my product.
Good.
I won't do that because if people are in, they must pay and they must be in and committed, you know? And
but that's also how they commit, right? If you were to give it for free or nothing, they wouldn't take it seriously.
Not interested. And it's the same thing with the big gym change. You see these things, 50% or 50% or 50% of sign up. But, like, there's no one looking after that.
Oh, we got a present for you.
Oh, good. What is it?
I got one of these for Ben, and he tells me that you might be a good recipient for
what
this.
Is that?
It's a sauna hat.
Ooh.
Well, guys, if you want, I mean, we can go into my review of the sauna hat, seeing as I know.
Yes, all right. Let's
what is a sauna hat, by the way?
Okay, so Ben will explain what it is to you.
So, John, obviously, sauna is great. You know,
can
I open
this?
It's all yours. If you're looking to build muscle,
you throw it away if you want to.
You do a lot of weight training, sauna after your training. Working with heat is really great. So you want to stay in the sauna for about 15 to 20 minutes, right?
Yes.
A lot of people, you can't. The sauna hat will just help you keep your head a bit cooler. And it's well known. The Scandinavians have researched it all the way through. So I now go into the sauna.
You wore your hat?
I gave James some imagery here. There we go.
There's Ben in the sauna.
As
nice.
You can see. With
this is
my
a ridiculous hat, though, Ben.
I'm the only one that wears a sauna hat, and I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I've been chatting about it with people. Look at it. It looks good. You feel good.
Doesn't look good.
I'm just concerned for the Daily J women that are watching here on this program. They're seeing right. Benjamin's going to.
Oh, well,
you can do yourself a quick punt and pick up some Instagram followers there, Benjamin.
Yeah, it's like a cheap shot for Ben to also advertise himself here. Gareth, how many of those sauna hats did you get, says Conga Chris? No, only these two. But I did think this is probably you sauna, right? I mean, Ben says that the advantages of this are tremendous. Yeah. I don't know what it actually does, but. I feel better after I've been in there as well. You especially after you've done a pretty hardcore training session. You go in there, it's not the sweating as much as I think what it does for your muscles. Mm. It just feels like the increased temperature does something to kind of.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a very long conversation. It's very boring for a Friday.
Well, go on.
But if you just think about what heat does for your
body.
Ben
has great tits, says Carl. Sorry.
You know, like when you warm up, when you get to the gym, you've got to warm up, right?
Yeah.
So there's heat. You need the heat because that's how your body works.
Yeah, it loosens you up.
And it's good for your muscles. So if you, I mean, I know you get to gym in a string vest, and you've got little shorts.
So
it takes you a while. But the same thing, like when you've got a good pump on and you've just worked on your muscles, the last thing you want to do is make them cold.
Yeah.
Constrict them.
Right.
You want to keep pumping up, keep going. Blood must keep flowing. The heat shock protein that gets released onto that, which is a big thing that people talk about. For me personally, to put it back to my story, is that I used to get niggles and aches and pains, all kinds of shit. You know, like a fucking
you were a
serial
disaster.
Moaner about stuff. Now, purely through sauna.
Tumble down cottage Ben, the people in his village used to call him.
purely through sauna, I've got like my recovery so good, which means that the next day I can start from that stronger point rather than having to miss 2 or 3 days because whatever. Sauna has just changed so much. It's been the single biggest thing of incremental gains in the last 3 months for me.
And Jono, do you get into all of these things that trend? I mean, you're ahead of the curve in so many ways, especially because you were thinking about this stuff, you know, 20 years ago already.
Yeah.
But the ice baths, the sauna, the steam room, the massages, all of that stuff like second nature because of what you were doing in rugby, for example. Do you rate these things, or do you think they're just fads that come and go?
But 100%. I mean, I think it also depends on the individual if they buy into the process. But like, you know, in sporting days, we'd always do ice baths, a lot of pool recovery, a lot of pumps whilst flying, etc. like that. It's such an important part to do whatever you can to make your body recover to perform at the next level. You know what I mean?
So the next day.
So, I mean, that's why we always, like in our programs, we say, we want you to work on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is an off day because you have to come back feeling refreshed to perform on a Friday and a Saturday, Sunday rest. And if you can create that routine rhythm, your body gets into that biorhythm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you set yourself up for consistency and planning. So
I mean, like, Johnny, you must get so many different questions. Like, I've got this friend, right? And I don't want to be disparaging and say like, well, I know so much. but he loves talking about going to gym. Sometimes he goes, yo, I go twice a day. I'm loving it so much. How do I get him to understand that recovery is so important without sounding like I know, like I'm a know-it-all?
You have to just get him to talk to me. It is.
Here we are, because that's my friend.
So Ben does, I mean, you told me about, you know, core stuff and stretching and all the rest of it, which is important. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pay any attention to that stuff because I was just doing what I had always done.
Yeah.
And I think it's useful to have you here because there are probably people who are doing what they think is the right thing, but they're actually, in the long run, either doing damage or they're just not improving.
100%. This is, can I make no mistake, this is the worst industry to be involved in
because
everyone's an expert.
So true.
And especially since COVID, you have these little 20-year-olds who are, nothing against 20-year-olds, but I'm saying they're on Instagram and now they're an expert and they're influencers, but they don't have an idea, you know? And the amount of misinformation out there is scary. You know what I mean? So you have to ignore all that noise, but you have to do the things. For me, it's the principles that make you function better. Sleep well, eat cleaner for 5.5 days. Try and cut your alcohol down. Yeah, I'm not saying I love a glass of red wine. If you take red wine away from me, I will murder someone.
Well, it's just other people are so dreary when you're not drunk.
But just have balance. You know what I mean? Like, and that is going to give you and yourself 20 years from now. It's not about you where you are now. It's like, what do you look like in 20 years time?
I'm just looking at some of these comments. Congo Chris says, just smash some creatine. Downtime is for the week. we have no idea what he looks like. Sauna and red light therapy is a game changer, says Charles. Okay. All the new ladies in the chat are now hooked on the show, says Raven. I don't know about that. Give them a chance. I mean, maybe when Jono leaves, they leave too. You never know. I'm bald and I sauna 3 times a week. Please send me one of those hats. All right, Carl. You know what? Maybe we should make a... We should have a merchandise session.
I've been saying for so long. screw coffee cups. The Gareth Cliff Show sauna hat, I think. I mean, that thing costs 73 cents from China.
I've got a friend in Cape Town who's got his own sauna. His name is Dan Ofruchte.
Yeah.
Dan is, he's building the new Cape Winelands airport.
Does he have a sauna hat?
He's got a, no, but he does. I'm going to get him.
He'll be mightily impressed by your sauna hat. Most people, it's a bit of a flex.
It's a huge flex. You should see people.
You're the professional.
I walk in the sauna and people go, fuck, God knows what he's doing.
Where did you find this thing? A sauna hat?
A joke. So I want to take some credit here. Ben goes on and sauna. It's pretty much the only place he socializes with anyone because no one else wants to talk to him, right? So when they're trapped in a fucking hot box with him, that's the only time that he can force them to talk to him.
Best podcast.
So he sits in there. Oh, I'm Ben. And then he won't leave because he has tremendous willpower. But even he at some point, his big fucking head, look at the size of it compared to his body, gets too big.
It attracts a lot of heat.
It's too big. It's too hot. And then I thought, well, there must be a solution. Someone in Finland or Denmark or Sweden has come up with some solution. And then somebody said to me on the show one morning, like, have you ever seen what a sauna hat looks like? It's like it's got a little handle on the top. And I looked it up and I thought, this is the most ridiculous headwear in the world ever. Perfect for bed.
I think it's stupid because you're putting something onto your head, therefore it's going to get warmer.
But then
I always used to go, like, my hair is on fire basically in the sauna. And I'm trying to hang on to whatever strands I have left. But now the sauna hat, like, I'm not shitting you. It's my head is a little bit cooler, and that small increment, like I'm pushing an easy 15 minutes now after every training session. But James has actually found a progressional style of the sauna hat.
Oh, really?
So
we have some, we're all beginning, Jono, your lucky morning. We're all getting educated on sauna hats.
With everything, there's various models and shapes and sizes. So James has actually got another style of sauna hat that we can all work into.
All right, James, show us another kind of sauna hat. There's some.
James, on WhatsApp earlier in the week.
Well, in Cape Town now, the latest thing is to have they have these sauna boxes on the beach.
No, that doesn't look like a sauna hat. That's a Roman centurion's hat.
That's definitely going to become very hot.
It's going to get a lot hotter.
Metal, you're going to burn your head.
But what they do now is they have these sauna boxes. It's like a trailer, which is a sauna.
Oh, and
they
park them
at the beaches. And you go jump in the either Delbrook or I was doing it in Hot Bay for a while, in the water into the sauna box. Yes. It's actually amazing. It really is good
so
fun.
What does that do in terms of the hot and then cold, or the cold
well,
and
it's,
hot?
Well, it's just blood flow.
So it's all about circulation, it's all about vasodilation.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So I will say this from my experience, right, because I love cold plunging, but what I can tell you is I do it because I'm just trying to silence my inner bitch. I think mentally it's done a lot for me. When Jono spoke about cold plunging and stuff, if you're a rugby player and you've done 6-7 hours, obviously jump in here when I get this wrong, and you need to do it again the next day, you need to constrict everything. You need to go into a place where you're actually fighting inflammation. Whereas with me, trying to just do weights to get, like, as my friend says, Gucci muscles, that inflammation is actually really good for me because that's those little tears and you build.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're even for golfers, like when I play that golf tournament, I played 4 rounds in a row, which I'm not accustomed to.
Yeah,
I cold plunged every day. I felt great the next morning. So if you're a cyclist, endurance runner, all those kind of things, the cold plunge is amazing for that because you need to almost just numb the pain and get it back to like a base level.
And I think that makes sense.
You like to cold plunge and you think doing it every single day is going to make you better, perhaps not.
Is that the hat you were talking about?
That's the sauna hat.
Jesus. Is that ultra professional? That's like next level.
That's when you go full European in the sauna. You wear that.
You're wearing that in the sauna and I'm jumping out the sauna, Benjamin.
You need a goat.
Imagine someone walked in. By the way, you can see we made the sofa here in our studio out of the same fabric.
Yes, it's the exact same thing.
It's exactly the same.
But if you have that, you have to have a goatee to go into the gap, the Viking gap.
All right, but what are the next kind of areas that we're going to go into? Because again, because of your experience in sport and at that high level, you know what these things that we're now starting to cold plunge and all the rest of it, you were doing years ago.
Yeah.
So what's the next level of stuff? IV bars where you sit there and you get like a semi-blood transfusion.
What do you think of those IV drugs that people take? I mean, it helps with hangovers.
Tried it and I wasn't wild about it. You know, there's so many fads out there and there are so many different things they're trying to introduce. You can introduce so many different forms of equipment, nutritional things. There's fasting. There's the vegan movement, there's this, there's that, you know, there's just so much. I honestly believe it's going to go back to basics again.
Right, because I'm also
I can't handle it.
I'm a little bit, it's too much, right? And no. I think for a lot of guys, because Ben and I talk about this often on the show and not on the show, is most guys have a drive and a motivation to improve themselves, and women, but it's a very guy thing to keep improving yourself the whole time.
Yeah.
And it can become a bit of a mad obsession. And I listened to a few podcasters. I got to tell you, it's like I've reached this point with people like Tim Ferriss or Chris Williamson, where when they start talking about their daily routine, their pill intake, their exercise regimen, their sleep, all the apps they use to track all of this shit, I'm like, who do you think you are, the fucking Buddha? Like, you're going to... No one on earth is, not even you, should be that interested in your heart rate during the day. And that night, they're busy making charts and get over yourself. It's enough.
I mean, look, it's a weird place to be. I think that the more you know, the more you go back to basics naturally because you know what's actually working. When you're in that space where you have a weekly podcast or you are a creator, I know this is a challenge that you might have too, is that you have to create something. So in order to create something, you've got to find angles to it. I mean, I'm talking about F1 drivers being androgynous to the point of like somewhere else. I've got to find new ways for sport, right? But when it comes to health and fitness, the going back to basics thing is just finally getting to a point in your life where you understand principles. And when you know very little, the principles aren't sexy.
Yeah.
Mm. You can only do so much content about principles too.
Totally. And that's where, you know, like it's so important that if you look at a figure of what we do is behavior change underpinned again by exercise, nutrition, community, and leadership. People will disappear when one of those elements is not there.
Right.
So you have to find a way of grabbing onto them and pulling those pillars together. But I mean, it's the same as someone sells a business now, all of a sudden they are doing talks on entrepreneurship and the LinkedIn approach drives me insane.
And we all want like the fast track life hack version of something.
Doesn't work.
It does. There's no such thing. If someone has become an overnight success, that's because they've been working every day for the last 20 years to become an overnight success. And you're not going to be able to just blueprint that and put it into your life and suddenly you'll become the same. It's totally. Not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the missing element to success is the 10 years you actually do fucking boring shit. That's really what it comes down to for a lot of that. So if someone joins your community now and they're hoping for the absolute best, the best is when they just take your principles and they stick with you for 10 years. Their life will change.
And like, it's just like, oh, stupid.
Let's start with 21 days.
21 right. days.
But, start with 21 days. Yeah.
But can let's start there.
Can I tell you how I wake people up in the morning? It's so stupid. I send a little video for 4 seconds of me hitting a pot and pan. Get out of bed.
Oh, I was ready to join your kid. Now I'm out.
Let's go after 21 seconds.
You'll drive him insane. But it's like, it's so stupid. It's like, get up and move. Pull your thing out your ass. Get up and move.
Right.
It'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
All the things you don't want to do. And if you can do that, guys, my goodness.
I'm not going to suggest this for you because I think you are a very positive person and you spread positivity. But don't underestimate the power of negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
You know, telling people they're fat, telling them they're stupid. Ben and I were talking about this with Simpiwe earlier this morning. And also reminding people that they cuck at things is not a bad idea. It helps them to like deal with reality. Cause I feel one of the biggest issues that we've got as human beings all over the planet today is that people are living in fantasy land instead of in reality. So, you know, I'm not overweight. I'm body positive and you mustn't fat shame me. Nonsense. You need to be reminded that you are the size of three people and that that's not good for you or everyone around you.
100%.
And, not and good for longevity.
And like negative reinforcement has a massive role in how we start dealing with shame, social acceptance, and making sure that we turn what is perhaps a negative contribution to humanity into a positive one.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, like we get that every single day. If someone came to me and they were 20 kilos overweight and I said, can you fix me? I'm like, yeah, but you need to sort your shit out first.
Yeah.
And this is what you need to do.
Right.
So I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, but you've got to do the hard work.
Literally.
And you
sugarcoat. Yeah. Not the wrong terminology.
I'm here for you to sugarcoat me.
And it's going to take you this long, but you got to do this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And these are the principles. But if you're not going to do it, you know, I'm not going to lick your ass.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah. I don't even see it as negative reinforcement, you guys. I mean, the points you make, I totally get this. But sometimes the truth is the most loving thing you can do for someone because sometimes it's the hardest. Everyone can go, oh, no, you're doing great. Just keep it up. No, those walks look awesome for you. But sometimes if you know someone you care someone about so much and you have the will to then apply that, you've got to say some hard things. But I don't think it's negative. It might be unsavory for someone who's on the receiving end, but it's never negative. To say that you are a worthless piece of shit or really get mean and personal, that's negative. To say that you're closer to diabetes and that person is, therefore you're in the wrong, that's facts.
Well, the thing is, I think it's also just being direct. I mean, like, this correct. One thing my wife is always, she is strong and she's direct.
And she's a big part of all of this as well.
She right? is. Yeah. If without her, it falls apart.
Because the J is not just you. It's Jules as
no,
well.
No, Jules right. is, yeah. and she's a rock star in what she does and how she brings the beauty element and just this personality, which is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife will tell you if you being a bit of an asshole, straight out, you know, or teaching me to be more direct with people, whatever it needs to be, you know, but it is what it is. We are inherently like children. Like and I treat people the way I treat my children. Don't eat that. Don't pick up that. Don't do this. Go to bed
because,
at this time.
Because also so many people are raised like wild animals. Their parents never taught them what's right and wrong.
100%.
They were kind of just left to figure it out themselves.
Yeah. So
parents always want to be the nice guy, you know, like the friend. Oh. Like, you know, I'm not just your dad, you're my friend or whatever. No, like you feel you'd be told stuff.
Yeah.
How do you learn?
The mom who goes out with the daughter who goes, people think we're sisters.
There's like the amazing scene from Mean Girls where the mom's like, oh, so what's new in sex nowadays? Like she's just trying to be the friend. I think so many moms try to be that and like and it's hard to be the taskmaster.
I don't know.
But there's a beautiful thing about this. That, again, going back to community, we keep talking about it, but someone has to have that in their life. And so few people actually do. Like we gloss over it on the show. Yeah. We make fun of things like that. Yeah. But we take for granted that people don't have someone that cares enough to actually say, don't do that and try to do this.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, like, I do care because I know I can make a difference. And I know our team makes a difference. I've got an incredible team of people. And
how big is the whole team and
our team?
The
we are there's five of us now and two production people, and it's seven. But we were effectively doing what 150 people were doing in my last business.
Wow, shit! That's efficient, eh?
Yeah, and it's real and it's good
and it's making money.
It's making money. We're profitable and we're growing. Excellent. And we're retaining and we are shouting very, very loud that we want to make a difference, you know? So that's why we have, you know, like.
Oh, you'll be pleased about this. I just got a message from my insurance company. Well done for achieving your 8 to 14 March 2025 exercise goal. So there's the proof, Ben, that I'm still trying to get this old carcass into
I don't doubt you. I just think for half the effort, you can get double the outcome.
You are so fat. If you did a jumping jack, you'd get stuck. Someone, I don't know who that's aimed at, but I like that. There is a good book, thanks for the feedback, which is worth reading, according to Raven. Talks about all the feedback and why we need to give feedback more and our blind spots, something or another.
It's true, but it goes back to saying people do things, and they do things in isolation, and then they lose interest. They're getting feedback, then they got like the reference point.
Yeah, I think there's also, and Jono, you back me up on this if you agree or disagree. There's useful feedback and there's just noise. Padding.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of noise out there. You mentioned all these people who are suddenly fitness influencers. You know, everybody's an Instagram model. Everybody knows how to do nutrition properly. Bullshit. Half of them are just absolute chance takers.
100%. And you can't blame them because corporate South Africa throws money at it. You know what I mean? And yeah. And that's sad from that perspective. But look, I think the industry is going to go through some massive changes over the next sort of like 18 months, specifically in South Africa. And I think it's going to open up beautifully to help, first and foremost, to help a lot of people and have like meaningful impact, but also just to like stimulate the economy.
Do you ever have a cuck day?
Yeah, of course.
No, but hang on, before you rush to answer this. Because you are now responsible for helping to motivate all these other people, give them what they need in a day to get to reach their own goals. And I think this is hugely admirable. But don't you ever have a day where you're like, oh, fuck these people, because I'm tired, especially when you were a dad and your kids were very young. But now, I mean, there are pressures that apply.
Yeah.
Do you ever have those days and you're like, someone else just handle this for the day? Not my day.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that vulnerability works very well from my side. I portray that like, guys, I need a break. I'm out for 2 days. Right. But it takes a special human being. I'm not going to lie. It does take a special human being. But I think it's just in my DNA to handle that. And I honestly believe it's not about me. It's about everyone else. So if I can make a difference in one person's life, hopefully it'll reciprocate through.
Always, yeah.
And I really, Gareth, I promise you, I get goosebumps when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in, like, specifically in this country, if we can get happier, healthier people,
oh, big time,
we can stimulate this economy. If you had to see how many HR managers or head of people I speak to asking me to solve problems for them, but they are like this.
Yeah.
They can't move themselves.
No, it's mostly the HR.
Well, we've spoken about health ministers around the world like that.
Yeah. You cannot be a health minister and be enormous. Bad ad for your country.
I run every now and then with Mumusi Mamani.
Yeah.
And I love Mumusi.
Did you go Mumusi on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I call him. Mumusi.
And we got a good, really good relationship. And he keeps on saying to me, he goes, one day when I'm president, you will be my minister of health.
Well, that would be, I would be in favor of that. But be careful. I'd be careful about lying politicians.
No, 100%. But you know what I mean? Like, I just, for opportunities to make change, and hopefully we can do, I'm going to do a massive event in October like we've done before in the past. I want you guys to be part of it. And I think we can do a lot together. You know what I mean?
So absolutely. Let's explore all of that.
Absolutely. By collaborating with this kind of stuff too, because then it's just the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Because the common goal is so common, and like, you have to be able to work your body. What you do with your meats in this world,
100%.
The domino effect for me is only good.
Right. Well, we're out of time, motherfuckers. So I'm afraid we're going to have to call it quits for this morning. But thank you for joining us. I hope you have a good weekend ahead. A big thank you to Jono for popping in as our guest this morning. And everybody in the comments section, if you're new, stay. You could raise the standard for all I know. thank you to Ben. Thank you, Simpiwe. And most especially, thank you to you for listening and watching and being a part of this. We will see you on Monday. Don't forget to like, subscribe, etc., etc. And there are plenty of other good shows on the Real Network that you also need to check out. Let's Talk Man, which is amazing. There's a new Shady podcast out. There's On the Bounce with Ben and Sandile. Go and check them all out. There's a whole lot more too.
I'm just filming around Nottingham.
Can you get arrested for that?
Arrested? What for? I'm just filming the light festival down there.
You can get arrested for videoing.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm a policeman, undercover.
You're undercover copper? I didn't know. I was just filming that festival down there and I seen a guy with a...
Well, you can get arrested for me.
What's the offence? I don't know what would I get done.
Well, you report and come... You report... You report... You record in public